and an epidemic broke out among the Jews who were on that ship. So the captain took them and he threw them off on some forest or desert land where there was no population, no human civilization. And most of the Jews died either from the epidemic or from hunger. Few of them who still had some strength mustered their last energy and attempted to go on until they find some type of civilization to survive. There was one Jew who boarded this ship together with his wife and two sons. And when the captain threw them all off on the forest, in the desert, the woman, his wife, as soon as she stepped foot on land, she could not hold out anymore, and she fell down in a faint, and she died. So her husband was left with two young children, carrying them, trying to save all of their lives. He also fainted on the way, and when he woke up from his faint, he discovered that both of his children have passed on. He stood up on his legs and he said, Ribbon Ha'olamim, Master of the Universe, Father in Heaven, you have done a lot to compel me to abandon my Jewishness and to abandon you. I thus hereby make a declaration that in spite of everything you, Hashem, have done to me, Yehudi ani v'Yehudi eyeh, a Jew I am and a Jew I will remain. He then buried his wife and two sons with the earth and the grass that was available there. And he went on to find a city or neighborhood to continue living as a Yid. The Teldus Yaakov Yosef, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Pulna, one of the greatest disciples of the Baal Shem Tov, writes in his monumental Hasidic work the following story. There was a Jewish child who from a very young age was raised in the home of a Gentile paritz, of a Gentile overlord, and he knew nothing about his background and his origin. He did not even know that he was a Jewish child. When he grew up a little bit, the paritz, who was his father for all practical purposes, decided to convert and baptize the child in a major official festival to which he invited many guests and relatives. Being certain that the child will not oppose this move, after all, this is his father, this is his mother, this is where he grew up, so the pirates notified the young boy that at a specific day he will undergo this public conversion, where he will be converted to the true faith. So the child, the Jewish lad, started to ask his father, what is the meaning behind this? What is the significance behind this? So the pirate says, it's nothing. It's very simple. Till then, till that day, your name was Faivish. And from that day, when you'll be converted, your name will be Ivan. So the lad, the child, asks him, why was my name Faivish? And why will it be changed to Ivan? So the Paritz didn't have a choice, and he had to tell him the story that he was a Jewish boy who was born to Jewish parents, a Jewish father and mother, and he received him at a very young age, and he raised him, and that's why his name, the original name, was Faivish. When the child heard that he is a Jewish boy, he told the Paritz, I will not convert. I was born a Yid, I am going to remain. I was born Faivish, I'm going to die as Faivish. The pirates tortured him, using all possible means to coerce him to surrender. But nothing helped. Faivish died at the hands of this cruel pirates, sanctifying Hashem's name. A Jewish woman who lived nearby expressed herself and she said, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Mir hab sich nicht genährt mit dir, aber du hast sich euch nicht genährt mit uns. Father in heaven, we did not deceive ourselves when we chose you, Hashem, over all other deities. We know it was a good choice. It was a powerful choice. But Hashem, you also did not deceive yourself and make a bad choice when you chose us. Five-ish is Ichmeiser Nefesh of Kiddush Hashem. Five-ish sacrificed himself, sacrificed his life for Hashem. Zagdal Terebbe V'hainu. The reason for all of this is Mishum Shahashem Echad Meiru Mechaya Kol HaNefesh. Because the one God illuminates and animates the entire soul of the Jew. And since Hashem Echad illuminates and fills the presence of the soul of every Jew, so therefore the definition of life for the Jew is Hashem. God constitutes the very eye of every single Jew. It runs deeper than any other eye, even than the eye of self-existence. The truest definition for the identity and life of a Jew is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Hashem Echad, the one God. Thus, the final words of parents are, "Lo zachinu legadalchem latera, nakrivchem ka'ayla v'haktara." Lest you think it was an experience shared by the rabbis, by the mystics, Fashteich, a Jew who devoted his whole life to godliness, when it comes, the moment of truth, is ready to give everything up. That you even have in other cultures. You have it in other religions. First and foremost, Socrates gave up his life for his beliefs. And so on and so forth. But by the Jewish case, there's a very unique phenomenon. Kal shabakalum abayshi yisrael, you would expect it. From a Jew who embraced Yiddishkeit his whole life, he understands what it is, he appreciates it. When the real moment comes, he'll give his life for it. Without it, his life is worthless, and that's A. And B, if he's not ready to give his life for it, that means it's not a real true ideology. Also, he's aware of Olam Haba, and so on and so forth, various calculations. Their life were indifferent, they were apathetic, they scoffed, they made fun, they were sinners, they did everything aftzalachas. And nevertheless, time after time, during the bloody years of our history, in those moments when they were offered a choice, either live or deny your God, or die and embrace your God, in the majority of cases, without contemplation, without meditation, these very Jews, who were totally indifferent and alienated, turned out to be the deepest believers who sacrificed everything for the reality of Hashem. And what type of reality is mentioned? Not seen, it's not heard. Many people deny it and so forth. When such a commitment to God, were all Jews crazy? I'm sorry for putting it blunt. Officially, Jews are quite intelligent. The Gentiles perhaps justifiably say that Jews are extremely smart, are extremely wise, are extremely successful in business. They have keen minds and personalities to make money, to generate powerful incomes, to contribute to affect societies and civilizations. And suddenly here we explore this mad, abnormal, totally super-rational dimension of the Jew. In all parts of the world, all types of Jews, not in one decade or century, century after century after century. When you die for something, it means it's really serious. And what's serious about it? You're dying for your child, Fashteich. It's your child. You die for your family and so forth, for your country. What were we dying for? Something that's still being debated. Does he exist? Maybe, should he? I don't know. Could be or not be. And Jews gave everything up for that. And Alter Rebbe defines the process. It wasn't Belishim Das Viz Boininus, an intellectual. It was never an intellectual experience by the Jew. He wrote a book before he did it. He called a press conference. It was like almost natural to the chemistry. Belishim Tam V'Tayin Omayin Eklal. Indeed, this is where we stand alone after everything said and done. This is where the Jew is very lonely. Because this comes from the Jewish people experiencing, every single Jew experiencing the reality of Hashem in the deepest place of his soul. So when the Jew becomes aware of the fact that he's being torn away from Hashem, he'll sacrifice everything. This relationship stands at the core of his being, at the heart of his reality, deeper and more powerful than all of his wants, desires, fears, passions, and commitments in life. Tear all the layers away, says the Alter Rebbe. Tear the layers away and you will find a heart on fire towards Hashem. So when the question is presented to the Jew, live a life without God or die for His holy name, that switch is evoked. That fuse is provoked. That spark comes to the fore. And when that switch is evoked, it's obvious to him that this is who he is. And it's like almost impossible for him to betray his own identity. He cannot be who he is not. He cannot deny his deepest personality and identity. And Hashem is at the core of the Jew's identity. The Jew will almost instinctively die, the Alter Rebbe is saying. That's his essence. It's not a philosophy. It's life. A philosophy lends itself to questions. The answer might be yes, go ahead and die for it. But it lends itself to a question. Life never lends itself to a question. In the city of Shpala, where lived the holy Shpala of Zayd, in the cemetery there's a tombstone. Poin Nitman, Yosef Haganav HaKadosh. Here is interred Yosela, the holy thief. How holy can a thief be, Zaktman? So this is the story in Shpala. There was a Jew, like in every generation, there was a Jew who received sustenance from thievery. Didn't only exist then, it exists till today. There are people who receive their livelihood through gnevus. They make a career out of it. And this Jew was a thief. He was never a poverty-stricken Jew, and he stole. One day he decided, enough materinzich. Why do I have to rip off this person 50 ruble, and this store 50 ruble, and this factory 50 ruble? Let me perform one major thievery, 50,000 ruble, and I'll become a gvir, a wealthy person, and I'll live for the rest of my life in tranquility. In a city like Shpali, where do you go to get 100 ruble, 100,000 ruble? One place, the church. They never had a shortage of money. So he broke in. One evening, and durchgeführt as a good Yiddish gneve, with a good Yiddish cup. He emptied it all out, basically. It was enough to sustain him, his children, his grandchildren, maybe till Mashiach comes. And he went out, a happy, content, glad heart, celebrating life. And to his mazel, dafka this time he was caught. The police of Shpali caught him. The crime was not just the thievery. The The crime was the place from where he stole from. This was not just a financial issue. This became a religious issue. He desecrated the holy beliefs of Christianity. And for this, the Jew would receive the death penalty. He would be burnt in the center of the city, everyone witnessing it. They offered the Jew a deal. You convert to Christianity, and we will let you go. Not only will we release you from, not only will we let you go from the death penalty, we'll even forgive you for the thievery. And you'll totally be off the hook. Now this Jew made a career out of thievery, knowing what it says in Aseres Hadibros Lo Signa. He was not learned, he was an ignoramus, he was insensitive. He knew the bread and butter that he's giving to his children is basically comes from stolen money from his brothers and sisters. But this Jew said, no, I'm Jewish and I will not convert. By no means. The time day came, he was imprisoned. A major fire was made in the center of the city. They brought him up to the stake. And the last moment, the priest of the city came over to the Jew and says, Yossel, look at this fire burning. You'll soon be in there. You have a wife and children waiting for you. Convert to Christianity. Deny your Jewishness. And you're over the hook. You go home. You're liberated. That's it. And at that moment, the Yidden of Shpala tell the tale. The moment, the last moments of his life, he declared and he shouted with every fiber of his being and with every sinew of his soul, Aganev binich, Abrayid binich. And he jumped into the fire. A thief I am, but a Jew I am. It's interesting that in the Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, one of the greatest philosophers, also talks about the uniqueness of the Jewish people, and similar to the Alter Rebbe, similar to the Kuzari, attributes it to almost a biological factor or a genetic factor. But while Rabbi Yehuda Halevi primarily demonstrates the uniqueness of the Jewish people as a consequence of the prophets that they produced, of the deepest mystics that came out of the Jewish people, of the deepest scholars who reached the peaks of spiritual heights, who transcended the body, then the people like Nevi'im, like Moshe Rabbeinu, like the others, and throughout the generations, the Tanaim and Amirayim, he says, here you see the uniqueness of the Jew. The Alter Rebbe takes another approach. He sees the uniqueness of the Jew in the fact that thieves of Shpali, when it came to a certain moment, they became as deeply Jewish as Moshe Rabbeinu, in a sense. There was like a certain barrier that a Jew never crosses. He'll cross a lot of barriers. But there's a certain issue where he becomes Jewish, and when he becomes Jewish, it's so overwhelming that it conquers him absolutely and unequivocally. Because the Alter Rebbe says there is Chachma Shebet Nefesh that lay dormant. That switch can be turned off, to be sure. If not, if it wouldn't be turned over, the Jew wouldn't be doing everything else he did in his life. He wouldn't be a Kal Sheba Kalam and Peshe Yisrael. But when that switch does get turned on, for whatever reason, when he feels that he becomes Ois Jew, that you want to take it away from him, and the Chachma Sheba Nefesh is evoked, then there's no turning back. There's no questions. There's no philosophy anymore. That's who he is. It's his life. It's his identity. It's not philosophy, it's experience. It's I. The I doesn't deny the I. And this is the I of the Jew. The I of the Jew on the deepest level, the Alter Rebbe is saying, is what? It's God. In the time of the Inquisition, the Spanish, still today, they like watching, they love having spectacles of animals fighting. It's a sport, it's a famous sport. Kinigia, it's called in Medrash Chazal. Bullfighting, yeah. So a certain time, in the period of their history, in time of the Inquisition, they had also beers fighting with each other. And it was a major spectacle. Thousands of people would come, the king and the queen and the monarchy and the government and the priests and so on and so forth. Once they were getting ready for a fight, a beer fight, and one of the beers died on them. Vastutman. So you know what they did? or their minds can't contrive. There was a Jew in prison who was taken by the inquisitors in captivity, and they came into him and they said, "You will fight the bear. You will substitute the bear that was supposed to fight, and you will fight him." The Jew began crying, lamenting, screaming, "I have a family, I have a wife, I have children, what are you doing? If you win the bear, you'll be freed. But if the bear is stronger than you, you will indeed be devoured alive." But what does a Jew do? It came that day, that morning. They took him back in backstage. They dressed him up in a bear suit. And the Jew was screaming, trembling, shouting, crying, weeping to no avail. Their cruelty, their brutality knew no boundaries. And they took the Jew and they threw him on the stage. And there's thousands of people looking and cheering. And at the other side of the stage, he sees a bear, a live bear. And it's already too late. The bear is approaching. The bear sees him and the bear is approaching. He's walking towards him. What does a Jew do at those moments? The end was, he was glaring, staring death in his eyes. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. To which the other bear responds, Baruch Shem Kved Malchus Eloheinu. So the Alter Rebbe says, often we are covered by bear skin, a very powerful bear skin. If you tear away the bear skin from the Jew, you'll hear Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and Baruch Shem Kved Malchus Eloheinu Vlad. In Yiddish, but in Chassidus is a lashon, Gettlichkeit steckt in Ayid. I don't know how to translate that. Godliness is embedded in the Jew's essence. It's legt sich bei ihm. It's part of his reality. It's the deepest part of his reality. And here at the conclusion of this perek, we have the answer to the issue he raised in the beginning of the perek, when he discussed the fact that a Jew has a hidden love towards Hashem, which comes as an inheritance from our fathers, from our patriarchs. The Alter Rebbe has four questions. A, what's the source of this love? B, what's its nature? C, how do you inherit a love from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Since when do you inherit the loves of your great-great-great-grandparents? And D, the fourth question is, how does it include awe as well? And two, the answer A and C he answers as a result of the explanation of this parak. A, what is the source of this Ava? Not Bina, but Chachma. Till Perik Yitches, he discussed an Ava which is produced through Bina Shebenefesh. In this Perik, the source of the Ava is Chachma Shebenefesh. Till Perik Yitches, he discussed an Ava that comes as a result of a meditative, contemplative process. Here, the Ava comes as a result of the lack of contemplation. Not of the assertion of the Jew's identity, but as a result of the negation of his identity. So the source is Chachm. How is it an inheritance from our fathers? Yes. Every person Avraham Avinu loved 3,700 years ago, you won't love, obviously. Even every person your Baba loved in Odessa, you won't love. That's true. But you're dealing with another issue, the Alter Rebbe says. Since ha'avos hein hein ha'merkava, since the avos were a chariot for the divine energy, meaning they did not just perform holy acts, but rather they transformed their identity, they suspended their whole ego, so their identity became channels for divine energy. That's what a merkava is. Their essence became an essence of holiness, so there was somewhat of, as you put it well, a genetic mutation. If they would have performed acts of holiness, if they would have done good things, if they would have had aspirations towards godliness, no! One child inherits a conviction, others not. Certainly not children living at the west of the Atlantic almost 4,000 years later. But what happened was that they were a Merkava, which means
It, that became their identity. And identity is transmitted for all of eternity. A human being under normal circumstances will never give birth to an animal. An animal won't give birth to a human being. It's not a certain streak. It's not a possession. It's not even a quality, an intellectual or emotional quality. Those are deep. Those can be transferred and so forth. It's like at the core of the identity, it becomes built into the very chemistry of genetic mutation. And as a result of that, every child for all of eternity has that sensitivity to holiness. That's what it's about. It's a certain sensitivity to spirituality. What he calls Chachma Shebenef, which is a certain holy soul. What is this holy soul? By the Jew, transcendence is embedded within his structure. There are various people have various qualities. You will not say, for example, that the contribution of the Jewish people to civilization was music. The same is true in the field of the arts, the field of science, of medicine. Obviously, throughout the generations, Jews contributed significantly in these areas. What the Jew gave civilization, what the Jews gave civilization, was the art of transcendence. So people that introduced absolute reality, introduced sacredness into the world. Not aesthetics, but ethics. And that issue is Nefesh Gedeisha. A sensitivity to holiness that came from the others. Let's conclude the Perek. V'hainu. So the Alter Rebbe says, this dynamic that characterized Jewish history throughout all of the generations, that even a Kal Shebekalim, Peshe Yisrael, Adam Meiser Nefesh, Al Kiddush Hashem, Belishum Das Vizbeinenus, Belishum Tam Vetayneu, Meineklau, Vahainu, from where does this come? Zagda al Terebbe, Mishum Shahashem Echad Meir Umechaye Kol HaNefesh. This is so because the one God illuminates and animates the entire soul of the Jew. This does not come as a result of the Jew's intellectual, scholastic identity and achievements. This does not come as a result of his assertion of his understanding, of his comprehension. This comes from the fact that Hashem Echad, that the reality of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of the one Hashem, dwells in him, manifests itself in him presently, exists in him, illuminates him, permeates him, penetrates him, and animates his entire soul. Al Yidei Hislapshusei Bebchinas Chachma Shabbat, through being clothed in its faculty of Chachma, which is beyond any graspable knowledge or intelligence. Since the relationship to the Ein Sof comes through Chachma, which is beyond Das V'Haseichel HaMusagumuvan, so the relationship of Ayita Hashem is not created, formed, or directed via one Seichel. Rather, it transcends the Seichel. It comes from the Chachma, which is beyond Seichel Musag HaMuvan. So therefore, when that element is exposed, when that element is expressed, the Jew's relationship is not one that is based and founded on the elements and the dynamics of the Seichel experience, but rather goes much beyond it. The Jew is essentially connected, essentially committed, and his relationship to it, his relationship to that commitment, his readiness to give everything up for that commitment, goes beyond anything of the Seichel. It is his life itself. Have a wonderful week.
We have parenthetically, I mean, we have answers for everything, right? We do have answers. So my question is, if you have answers for everything, once you have an answer for everything, then it's not the Emun anymore. It's already that.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or albums, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.